Right, Louisa.
Hi.
Welcome to podcast episode 63.
Wowzers.
Yes, we're flying through them now. So, Louisa, I, as always, do a little bit of research first.
Oh, gosh.
You probably saw me snooping on your LinkedIn profile. So I'm just trying to find out a little bit more information before I come and speak to you. So, obviously, you're a beauty salon owner, you're Beauty by Louisa, but this is...
LA Beauty.
LA Beauty. Yes. So you started as... Beauty by Louisa.
Yes. You're not on your own, don't worry.
18 years ago, almost.
Yes.
Wow.
Coming up, I know.
I mean, that's incredible.
It's quite scary. I don't realise until I see some of my clients' children who were babies, and leaving college or whatever, or I'm doing the prom makeup, and I'm thinking, what?
Aren't children are really good measuring stick, aren't they, though, for how time passes?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
I always look back at mine and I think, oh, well, Jade or Alicia there was this age, and I'm like, Jade's just turned 17.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, my God.
That's when it makes you feel, you don't really feel old, because everyone's growing with you at the same time.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, I'm all right. And, like, one of my 21-year-old staff members, I think I'm her age.
Exactly.
You know, just on the odd occasion, I realise I'm not,
exactly.
You think, oh.
Yeah, I'm the same. I still feel like I'm 21. The only time I don't feel 21 is when I can't recover from alcohol like I used to.
I'm quite lucky in that regard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my husband hates it. He's like, gosh, you were so drunk last night, and then you're sprightly in the morning, and you just get on, and you go for a run, or you do something, and
what's your secret?
No idea. I'm sure it'll creep up at some point.
So. So 18 years, so it's a very successful business where you perform all beauty treatments from waxing to facials and massage.
Yes.
One of the things that I actually pulled from your profile, which I love this, by the way,
is that
although being a small business, you end up taking on the role of cleaner, marketing, admin, accountant, as well as all the other duties. Tell me some information about this.
Well, I think every business owner does this. You start off, and like it was Beauty by Louisa because it was just literally me.
Sure.
I was working in a tanning shop, rented a room, and so it was me just doing the treatments. And then obviously as things get bigger, you start to think, well, I could do it with a bit of help. Or then, I mean, social media, it probably was out, but I don't think it was actually out back then.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, I mean, 18 years ago. You didn't have Facebook. You certainly didn't. You didn't have Twitter.
I'm sure we still had the dial-up connection. I'm sure I still.
Good.
I found it amazing when I did my car insurance
maybe?
Online. Oh yeah, people were doing that, but I didn't understand it, so I never had one. So then you start to. So I've had to kind of learn. As many people do, I've had to learn all of those things as well, like how to market my. I'm not a marketing person, so I've learned how to. Market my business, market my salon. I've got an amazing relationship with my clients, so they do help me and go, Louisa, no. Or they'll so like and then sometimes like when I realise I've like, I don't know, my clients will know this about me, I'll have flicked a bit of wax on the wall somehow. So then obviously then you think I've got to get rid of that wax.
Yes.
So then you're the cleaner, and then because you can't afford a cleaner, so you've got to be kind of everything. So come in early, stay behind after work. Take the opportunity if you've got half an hour. But now I've got an amazing team of girls. So that's why we've become LA Beauty, so that people don't expect it to just be
just
me.
Yes.
It is, we've got a good team. So we've got LA Beauty and hair, actually, now.
LA,
so I don't do hair, but I've got some incredible girls that do.
Fantastic.
But I just manage.
So how big's the team now, then?
Seven of us.
Seven of you,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So we've got a couple of apprentices, one apprentice, sorry, we're going to get another one. There's four on the beauty side and three on the hair side. So
really? Yeah, that's incredible.
So it's like.
Of course. So how do you manage your time when you're juggling multiple tasks?
It's difficult. I am getting, over the past couple of years, it's where I have been really focusing a lot of my time and attention to working on the business, as they say, because I never really, I got into that chaos phase of, gosh, what am I doing? My head's fried. I'm a cleaner. Like I said, I am everything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make this business run, and then clients still want me to do the treatment, so I'm still working 10 hours a day, and
I just
literally didn't have time for anything. So I've spent quite a lot of time planning, I suppose, which is something I would never put in the same sentence as Louisa. I'm not a planner at all. I'm just a wing and a prayer. But I've learned that you have actually got to sit down and plan, even down to like your content on social media now. I'm quite into that at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm doing content planning, and I'm even doing it for other people as well, other salons
as
well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm quite enjoying it, though. I'm I'm finding like a bit of a passion there. But obviously I've got my team of girls, we sit down and we have team meetings, and they kind of, little do they realise, they are helping me plan, mm-hmm. because we're working out all the jobs that I actually take on that maybe they don't realise that it is an actual job.
Sure.
And now we're kind of distributing them jobs amongst the team. So everyone's kind of becoming a bit of a supervisory role in a certain part. So that's something that we're just doing in the salon at the minute to try and take some pressure off.
Yourself. So what have you been doing with that time that you've managed to get back then? Have you just allocated it somewhere else?
Of course.
It's business.
I have. I have been taking a bit of time out for myself as well, and actually spending time with my husband, he's realised I am still around. It gives us an opportunity to go on holiday, spend some time together, which is really important.
Which is what it should be all about anyway.
Yeah, yes. We go self-employed to have that freedom, and actually it's the least freedom ever. But if it's done right, and I've learned all the things that I did wrong. So what I've become, this is very, very, very recent, mm-hmm. but I've had quite a few friends who are in business in salons approach me and say, Louisa, what are you doing? Like, I want to know. Sure. So as a friend, I've just gone and sort of like helped them and showed them a bit of, like, I've systemised my salon. So I've got my systems and procedures, which most salons would be like, I ain't got one of them. I don't need that. Yeah, yeah. And that's how I would have been. But I've realised if I'd have had that systems and procedures from day one, when I've had these new starters coming in,
it'd have made such a huge difference. Yeah,
yeah, my life would have been so much easier because they're here, but I haven't got any time to tell them what I need them to do. So then you're just sort of saying, oh, go and do that, oh, go and do that. And then they're sort of left hanging going, but what do I do? It's a bit unfair on them. So then you can understand why they've either not gelled as part of the team. They've kind of thought, this is not for me. Or I've even thought, I ain't got time for this. Mm. There's no job. Let's just call it a day, which is not very nice.
So it's like a proper onboarding process to bring them in now then, yeah.
Yeah, so I find I've got like my introductory pack, my HR manual. I'm on it. But I really like that side of things. Sure. And if I can help other people do it and start the right way, then I'm not saying it's my way is in the right way, but just
it
in a
works
more,
for you, doesn't it? So
yeah.
If it can work for you, it can work for people in the same industry. And I think this is the thing that a lot of businesses struggle with, is they think that there's a magic formula somewhere else. And it's like, well, it's one of the easiest ways, modelling is just a brilliant method to follow. Like, if you can find someone who's done the things that you want to achieve and you can model them, you can expect similar results.
Definitely.
And I think we spend a lot of time trying to find this secret formula that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and you think everybody else knows it, and they don't. It's just the one thing in many, many jobs, I'm sure, but especially I feel in our job, because you are so hands-on, you're in a treatment room, you haven't got time to go out there and plan and answer the phone. So you've got to realise there are things out there to help.
To help you, yes.
And maybe if you had that, the one thing you need to do is take a step back, but the one thing you feel you can't do is take a step back, because you've got clients to do. I haven't got time.
Yeah.
And that's, you're in this turmoil all the time. So when you do take a step back, your clients actually massively benefit.
Totally.
But you can't see it, because you can't see the wood for the trees.
No. So what were the turning point for you then? What made you realise this? Did something snap, something bend? Like, what happened for you to think?
Well, I got bigger and bigger, and then it was when I moved into these premises, like my newer premises, a few years ago. I'd come in, and there was, you know, some people already here, and they were working on a self-employed basis, mm-hmm. and I just realised that kind of wasn't working for me as a business, because you've got to manage people, but I didn't know what everyone was doing, because obviously if you're self-employed, you can do what you want. So the balance wasn't right. And I realised that I'd got all these premises and I wanted it to be a business in its own right.
Yep.
And then I think I took this place on thinking it would be more freedom, more headspace, more help. And it was a total opposite.
Yeah, just sucked you
in. And again, I didn't have a plan. So I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I went on a time management masterclass. And I was that person who turned up late. I organised it, but that's even worse. I organised to be late for a time management class. So that was a little bit embarrassing looking back. But, you know, at the time I was like, but I'm busy. You don't understand. I'm busy. And obviously everybody in business is busy.
Yes.
And something in that room, I basically was listening to this guy, and as he was talking, I sort of had my little head on thinking, oh, I'm too busy for this. I haven't got time. And then I thought, Louisa, rein your neck in. You've paid for this course. There's obviously a reason you've come on this course. get your value from it. And then as soon as I changed, something snapped in me then, and I started writing, and then I had this plan, and I was coming back here the next week, everyone was employed, and I was sort of like, this is going to work. And something just triggered that day.
Sure.
I can't really explain what it was. I think I saw lots of different things happening, and it just wasn't working, and I knew either get out or sort it out.
So what did you do to follow through? Because I think that this is, I think this happens quite a lot for businesses, is that they get to a stage where something changes, and they can't, a lot of the time, they can't identify what's changed. They just know that they need to change something. But the hardest thing that they find then is to follow through on it. You know, like when you're lost in that moment and it's all exciting and it's new and it's like, wow, we've got breakthrough after breakthrough. How did you follow through to make sure that you didn't come away from it and then start it and then just put it down and do nothing with?
Well, I'm from Yorkshire, I'm as tight as they come, so if I paid for something, I need to get value from it. So and I found myself just doing little things, and I thought, right, stop trying to change the world in one day. Just do bits and pieces. So I kind of so I just started doing the odd thing. So I employed, like, the girl who was here who was self-employed, we chatted and she became employed, and we were, I suppose, not, I didn't try and employ like loads of people at once. Me and her worked together, worked things out, see what worked, see what didn't work. And she's brilliant, and she's still here now, and she's such an integral part of the team.
Wonderful.
And then we've built on that. So I think it's been a building.
Step by step.
Yeah.
Rather than overwhelming yourself with so much, you've just done bits at a time.
And I'm part of a business academy, and I go there every month. And sometimes people will say, well, why do you keep going? I'm like, but it keeps my focus, it keeps me on track, it gives me some accountability. So I think, why not?
Why not?
If I'm doing it and I'm getting some benefit from it,
of course,
then I may as well keep doing it.
Absolutely.
I enjoy going, the people are great, I learn loads.
Sure.
And there's always something new, or something that, it might be the same topic, but I think, oh gosh, I don't do that.
Right.
But I've implemented loads of that.
Sure.
So something, there's always something that triggers. So
good.
I think you've just got to be accountable. You don't have to join something. I think even if you've got a friend who's in business, an accountability buddy, something like that, I'm not saying you have to go and join these networking events or whatever, but they do make you step out of your comfort zone a lot.
Definitely so.
So I think you've just got to keep pushing yourself personally, like even like your personal development and all of those things. I know I'm, that sound really, really cliche, but it is
it's so true. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's how I've done it, just step by step and implemented all the different things.
Brilliant. So from them things, how do you decide whether you're doing the right thing or the most enjoyable thing?
Well, usually when I'm doing the right thing, I'm probably not enjoying it very much.
That's true.
But that's when I usually know it's right, and it's obviously something that needs to be done.
Of course.
And then hopefully then the quicker we get that task done, we can do something that we
what you want
enjoy.
To enjoy. Yeah, you enjoy doing.
But I find that, without being mean, I don't mean to delegate all the tasks I don't want to do to people. I sometimes look and I think, do you know what? This is not just a Louisa job. Mm. Anybody could do this job. So it might be ordering stock or something like that. And, you know, in fairness, they'll give me the information that we need, and I'll order it, because obviously it's my money, it's my budget, whatever. And that's really respectful.
Mm.
But I think, actually, we could all do that. I trust all my staff. So
they can pick up on,
so we kind of, like, we have to work it together.
Definitely.
Really.
I always... One of the phrases that I say, or try and encourage people to say, is when they're doing a task or a job or anything like that, ask themselves the question, is this the best way for me to be spending my time?
Yes.
Because it usually isn't.
Yeah, I listened to a book, which one was it now? I can't remember if it's the E-Myth Revisited or one of them anyway, a personal development book.
Right.
And it was about, it was basically saying about allocating your work out your hourly rate.
Mm.
And if that task you're doing does not equate to your hourly rate, then should this be the task
that
for you?
Yeah,
and it's not all about money, but sometimes that's made me think a little bit differently, thinking, hang on a minute, where's the best use
this.
Of my time?
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm paying you £10 an hour or something, and that task is only bringing in 11, maybe that job's for you, and maybe I should be doing something more productive, you know.
And it's easy to overlook that kind of stuff. I see a lot of businesses, they'll pass some workload on to somebody that they're paying 10, maybe £15 an hour.
Yeah.
But then they've got an apprentice who they're paying the apprenticeship yeah. salary, which is, what's that, £4
yeah,
is it or something?
Yeah, it's a bit harsh.
Ooh, but they could do the job.
Yes, definitely.
But you're paying someone three times the amount to do the same job, and it is stopping and thinking about it and thinking, well, actually, is this really tasking? Does it take a really high level of skill? And it's not discrediting anyone, as you've said,
yeah.
but it's just understanding the business and mechanics.
It is, and that's what I think it's about. You have to get that business mind on, not, it's never ever personal. And I say yeah. to all my girls, you know, anything that happens or that we talk about, that we go through, it's never coming from a personal point of view.
Yeah.
It's just got to be
pure business.
Because yeah. sometimes I am a bit of a people pleaser and I want everyone to be happy.
Right.
But sometimes it don't always work.
It hardly ever works, does it? When you, if you're a giver, the unfortunate side is that if you give, then it's, you get frustrated really easily, because what you'll find is most people don't give back.
Yeah,
and that's because
true.
You don't ask.
Yes, and if you ask, honestly, they will do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes
you just expect
you think,
them, though, don't
because
you?
That's your nature, so yeah. you do that. But yeah, so you just have to kind of learn to ask
of course.
Learn to just like try not to take everything so personal, because I take things personal.
Right, okay.
If somebody doesn't help me, I think, why are you not helping me?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, if you'd have asked, I would have done.
I would have done, yeah.
So you've got to sort of try and take yourself out of it a lot of the time. Makes you a little bit of a heartless person. So it can seem like I feel I'm a bit heartless sometimes. But, and my husband's like, no, you're just matter of fact, you have
yeah.
to be.
It's business.
Like, yeah,
yeah, totally.
So.
And it's a hard transition, isn't it? A transition to go from somebody that is a real caring, giving person to actually be business minded, because
yes.
you've got to make the right decision for the business now, not what's right for your feelings.
Yeah, because I'm not really money orientated, but obviously when you're running a business and you've got staff, all I think about every month is, gosh, can I pay the girls, can I pay the girls? because, and so you've got to then, like, all my girls know how much we need to take
sure.
to stay afloat,
sure.
to just break even,
yeah.
because I think, you know what, I've got nothing to hide. Mm. I'd rather everyone be in the picture so that they can see when I'm a bit stressed. I'm like, right, come on.
This is why.
What can we do? What things can we, you know?
Totally.
And I try and get everyone on board with their ideas, and I try and implement their ideas as well, because it is... It's nice to, it's not all my way.
Yeah.
I don't have all the ideas.
It's a good culture to have, though, isn't it? Is that when you've got that transparency amongst everybody. I mean, there's certain things that you want to hold back.
Yeah, of course.
But I think when you have that transparency across the board, it's great, because everyone's a team player then.
Definitely.
And they know the reasons why, don't they? So,
yeah.
So they really get stuck in.
Somebody once said to me about, and this saying just makes me laugh, if they're not on your bus, tell them to get off at the next stop. And I said, what do you mean? It's like your business is your bus.
Yeah.
So if they don't share your vision and your dream and all that, and don't get where you're going with it,
yeah.
they don't understand you, so they're not going to
totally.
Partake. So just tell them to get off.
Yeah.
And I told my friend once, and we were just, she was hysterical. And it is a funny saying, so I tell all the girls, you know, if you're not on my bus, just
on
get off.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fine.
Totally.
No hard feelings.
But it makes total sense. It does make total sense.
So, yeah. Yeah,
I think there's one of the very first and largest CRM companies, most people call it Salesforce.
Yeah.
It's a major company. I think they're worth about $16 billion or something like that. Well, their strategy that they have running through the entire company, they call it V2 Mom.
Right.
And what it stands for is, it's something that they developed. So the guy behind it, Mark Benioff, was coached by Tony Robbins. And they created this V2 Mom together. And
mm-hmm.
what it stands for is vision and values, that's the V2.
Yeah.
Method, obstacles, and measurement.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is they get this, so it actually pumps through the entire organisation. So even the cleaners know what the vision is, they know what the values are, they know how the method that they're going to use to get there, they know how they're going to overcome the obstacles, and they know exactly how they can measure whether they've been successful or not.
Right.
And I just think, what a fantastic thing
it
to have
in
your company.
Yeah, definitely. It is a really good way of, like, looking at it. It's hard to get people on board,
mm.
but when they get it and
when they
understand
buy into it, yeah.
yeah. And sometimes I'm not sure everybody is, but they do, they want to be part of it. And
yeah.
and I love seeing sometimes, I'm not saying I've inspired them, but I love seeing their inspiration
sure.
and them buzzing and want to do
of
stuff
course.
And make things a success.
Totally.
Because I think, I hate it when people think, oh, I'm working for you and I'm making your selling a success, because I don't see it that way.
No.
I think...
This is yours.
You're keeping yourself in a job
because yeah.
I want you to have a job. I want
sure.
you to get paid.
Sure.
If there's no one coming in, there's no money, which means
mm.
there's no job, there's
mm-hmm.
no business. And that's really sad.
Yeah.
So I think, no, we're a team. It's our salon. Okay, I might be at the top of the pyramid chart, whatever you want to call it, but I don't see it that way.
Sure.
I just think we've got to work as a team. We've got to work together.
Absolutely. What's the saying there? for the dream to work. Team
Oh, teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah.
But it is true. So true there it as is. Well, isn't
I know,
it?
It's absolutely cheesy, but it is true. It is true.
So in terms of the business then now, so you've got 7 staff, you've got this new premises, which is like you've got all the different rooms for all the different things. Yes. What were you just saying? You've got an
infrared sauna, steam room.
I mean, that most businesses, what's not a big spa, don't have that kind of facility, do they?
No. I wouldn't say that we're not trying to be Ragdale Hall, unfortunately, but...
Not yet, no.
But I just wanted to have something locally. I'm really into relaxation, health and well-being.
Sure.
So I think, you know, I wanted to give people somewhere that they could come, a little haven really, just step out. We live in such a stressful world and life.
Totally.
Just come and take a step out, you know, step off the rat race, or whatever you want to call it, for a while, and come and just chill out and let us. We do try to pamper you when you come. We like it, you know. We'll always ask you if you want drinks.
Yes.
You don't really have to do anything. You can just stay in that one room if you want.
Of course.
But we've got another room where there's a relaxation room, massage chairs and stuff. So, and we do afternoon teas and stuff like that. And we really want that side of the business to take off more, because it's such an important part to me, you know. And so I just want to offer things that other places don't really make our salon stand out.
So how do you get customers, and how do you currently market yourself to get the customers? Are you saying that you spend a lot of time on your social plans and strategies?
Yeah.
I mean, but is it just social media, or did you have a strategy for...
To be honest, the one thing that I always say has set my business off from start to finish is we're a local business, so we just get leaflets and post them around locals.
Right.
It's about getting up off your backside, basically.
Of course it is. Of
Go
course.
And deliver them. And that is to me, the biggest... thing that's brought customers in,
actually going out and dropping leaflets,
because we send the whole price list, so they literally get to know everything that we do
before they even come to see you.
So it's not an advert that's just proposing this or promoting that. It's they can see everything, and if it takes their fancy, then come and pay us a visit, kind of thing. I do like social media. I'm always trying to put stuff on Facebook and pictures of what we do. Our stylist, well, we've got a few stylists, but they're really, really good. Like, we've got a couple of them that do like really good pin-ups, like make it all curly and fancy.
Oh, right, okay.
And then we've just started doing like this braiding that, you know, we've got a couple of girls that do that. And then really, really good at colour changes. So, you know, you want to take pictures of that work because it's incredible. The transformation. And then we do nails as well. And obviously some of the stuff, like one of the girls has just done some Disney nails. A few people have been going to Disneyland and they've done a right good, like Mickey Mouse. You want to show that.
Yeah,
you know,
of course you do.
They've done a good job. You can't show massages, unfortunately. So we've got to promote what we can promote.
Yes.
And then maybe just take a picture of the room or a video of the room with the relaxation music and the smell. Obviously you can't. You should do a scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff. It's not a bad idea, actually.
But unfortunately, you can't get all the aromas and stuff. But so yeah, we do social media, but I do think it's about, and word of mouth.
Yes.
Because obviously, when someone's had a good treatment or they've enjoyed it, they will tell people
about
and
it.
And obviously, we're a village, so we try and, I'm not saying we get everything right all the time, but it's important to us to get it right, because we get it wrong, everyone will know about that too.
Sure.
We just do what we can do, and I just want everyone to feel comfortable. We're not we're not a snobby salon, you know, we're sort of like real, so I want people to come in and just enjoy it and feel
amazing,
that they can be themselves.
Wonderful. And then also, just to make things a little bit more interesting, you've got your own skincare range as well.
I do, yes.
LA Skincare.
I'm going to be LA everywhere,
aren't I? LA everywhere, yes. What's the LA then? I'm kidding.
I think it's good that you asked that question, because the amount of people that will sit there now and go, oh my gosh.
It makes sense.
I actually know her, and I didn't even know that it stood for that. The amount of people that do say
really?
That.
Yeah. So for everybody that's either watching or listening, LA Skincare, the LA part stands for Louisa Ashford.
Yes.
Ashforth, sorry. I got it wrong.
You're not on your own, honestly. I get so many combinations. It's amusing.
So tell me about that. I mean, like that was, what, 6 years ago you introduced this, was it?
Yeah. I started it, it probably will be about 6 years ago that I started it. Probably about 4 years I've actually had it out to market, really. But... I started it probably before 6 years, but I started, like, you know, I've always loved skincare. I've always been passionate about that side of beauty more than nails and stuff like that. So then I just started to think there's got to be a way that I can do it, because obviously I'm not a scientist, I'm not a pharmacist, but, you know, when you think about it now, it's not that hard. You just team up with a pharmacist. So it's not as easy as what I've just made out. There's, you know, but it took me a long time to get to that point in my head where I thought, actually, there's plenty of people that do that, Louisa, sure. Just because you're not that person.
Doesn't mean.
So, yeah, I've always mixed products in my kitchen, made lip balms, made body face scrubs, stuff like that, masks. So then you start to speak to the right people. Right. And
So what happened then? So you approached a pharmacist?
Yeah, I approached
him. And just said, I've made this. Can you check it? Or?
Well, I've made things. Obviously, you can't really imitate some of the ingredients. You can't just get in your kitchen to use in your kitchen and stuff. So I sort of went to them and said, look, this is what I want to do. I want these ingredients in it. I definitely want this ingredient. How can I formulate this?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So then they, in all honesty, created the formulation my ideas and what I wanted it to entail. And then they sent me out some samples. Are you happy with this? Are you happy with that? Most things I was happy with, to be honest. The serum, the first one just smelled like old ladies. So I didn't like that. And I put it on at night and my husband was like, what is that smell? So I realised that I could not go to market in that one.
Okay.
So, but most things I haven't really had to change massively. I've made the odd, you know, adaption here and there, but I obviously got the right people on board to do.
So, are they in the business with you on that product, or was it a paid for service?
It's a paid for service, sure. I did. There's a lady. I had like a consultant in between all of that. So to be honest, she kind of deals a lot more with the pharmacist than what I do. Right. I've met them and, you know, gone to the factory and stuff like that, but I more deal with her because it actually just makes it easier. You know, there's so many regulations and stuff like that. And I think I need to make sure that
you're covered.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think there's so many professionals. One thing I have learned is outsource. One thing that, you know, stop trying to be the cleaner, the marketer, the label writer, whatever, you know, I'd miss half the ingredient, spell them wrong or something, you know. Yeah. Why try and do it all myself you know, the formula's mine, that's all that matters.
So how easy was it for you to then let go of that kind of stuff and say, you design, you do this, you write this, you make that? How easy was that, an easy transition, or did you feel protected and it's like, I want to do it?
I am a control freak. As long as I liked it, I didn't mind. Okay. And I always said to my husband, I'm so easy, as long as I like
it. As long as I like it, yeah.
But it's like finding that person that does what you like.
Of course.
It's taken me quite a long time, but I have found, I've got my little team now of people.
Brilliant.
That, I'm not saying I haven't been stung along the way, but I've got a team of people now that get it. And I know I can go back to them and say, I'm not really sure about this. It's not quite what I had in mind.
Yeah. Can we adjust it or tweak it?
Yeah. And they'll even come to me and go, Louisa, what are you doing? What was that post you put out? No. Okay. And I'll be like, okay. Oh, I was just trying to do it myself. Like, okay, you do it. So sometimes I get it wrong. But
that's part of the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you've just got to get the right people on board with you.
How did you... So there's a lot of businesses know that they should probably outsource things. And the main issue that they face... When they encourage to outsource, is that they think they can't afford to outsource.
Yes.
Was that something that you felt?
Massively.
And how did you overcome it?
I think finding the people that would do a bit.
Right.
And then I think it's that trust.
Sure.
I think, you know, you think at first it's all about money.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't think it is. I think it's about being convinced that you've got the right person on board.
Got you.
Because I've wasted money. And yeah, I've still gone back and tried again.
Right.
So it can't be about the money. Mm. I'm not saying I haven't hid away and gone, I'll just do it myself, I'm fed up now. And then I go, I can't do this myself. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I get to a point. And plus, like when we were talking about editing videos, I've learned about editing. I've tried to edit. It takes me a full day. And then I still don't really know what I've done or if I've done what I want to do.
It comes back to the best way to spend your time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the way to get around the money side of it is think, well, hang on a minute, that's taken an entire day. If I did that job or that job,
how much could I have earned this?
Yeah, I could have actually afforded to pay that person £200 or whatever it was to do it. So then you think, oh, hang on. So I think it's about, I'm not saying it works from the start, but I think it's about when you... You just have to think about it. When you have done a task and thought, that's taken me all day, it's taken me 10 hours. So if I'm saying my wage is da-da-da-da-da, that's just cost me that much money and I've just thought I can't afford to do it.
Sure.
Then you can.
Yes.
So I think it's about getting the balance, trying someone, do it for a few hours, get them to do one thing for you, get them to do a small task for you.
Build confidence in them and trust in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what it comes down to, the trust.
So it's a mindset shift, isn't it? Majorly
Yeah, massively.
Yeah. So the the LA skincare's out. You've got pharmacists that's on board to help you do all that kind of stuff as well. Where is it available? I mean, have you? Is it online? Is it in shops? Is it like?
It's in salons. Obviously, it's stocked in my salon. So the first couple of years, it was just stocked in my salon. I purely did it for my clients, really. I wanted them to have a skincare range that was, you know, I'm not saying it's cheap, but, you know, cheaper than some ones that I was stocking previously, that's still high quality ingredients. And it was them that said to me, take it further afield, Louisa. And I thought, I don't know what to do. Right. So I went online. You know, I've had about 10 websites in the whole time I've been doing it. So it's still laskincare.co.uk, which it's been forever. But again, I found the right people to actually make my website a lot better. Right. And then I also go to professional beauty shows, which is like a trade exhibition. And I've got some stockists from there who stock it in their salon, use it in their treatments. Okay. And then on the back of that, I've actually then created my LA Training Academy.
Brilliant.
So I've got all my courses accredited. So I wanted to basically give some credibility to my skincare. I can teach the course, and it is an accredited course, so you can get a certificate. You're already qualified in facials, but I want to, you know, do the LA facial kind of thing. So just to give it as a more credibility and quality as a company.
Brilliant,
kind of thing.
Brilliant. And is it going well?
Yeah, it's going really well, yes. Yeah, just trying to get more stockists on board. And I think I've been trying to find my niche in the market. And whenever I've thought about that, I've always thought about, well, what skin type is it suited to?
Right.
Now, if I'm being honest, I'm going to be that person because it's for everybody. I can narrow it down, and it is amazing for acne.
Right.
And I was focused a lot on that side of things,
of
purely because it's quite easy to show the results on a picture more than anti-aging.
Yeah.
But then when it's come to stockists, I've not realised that that's where I need to find my niche. Stop trying to get these massive salons on board when my skincare is a very, very compact range.
Sure.
The idea is the simplicity behind it, but some salons don't want that because they want these bigger ranges, which is fine. So it's finding where my products fit
where it fits in the
market. Because I'm like, I'm not just saying it, they are good, they do work, they do what they say on the tin. But I'm like, so why can't I find the right place? And when I look at the salons that I've got, a lot of them are one-man bands, mobile therapists, but it's perfect for them.
Sure.
So that doesn't mean that things aren't going well.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of stockists on board, and it's brilliant. And they're so passionate about the products. I've still got one of my salons that I got from my very first trade show.
Wow, really?
And she's done a podcast for me. She's
brilliant.
Come on, she's absolutely passionate about the range.
Brilliant.
And that means a lot, really. So I'm just, at the moment, I've just realised that's what I need to actually advertise as well.
Yes.
You know, focus on, are you a mobile therapist? Are you a one-man band?
Sure.
You know, we've got the range for you. You don't have to have masses of stock in your cupboard. Because, again, from Yorkshire, that's money in your cupboard.
Of course,
you know,
of
want it in my bank account. I've got other things to do with that money.
Absolutely. Leverage.
Exactly. So when you take on a bigger company, no disrespect to them, they're amazing companies, but you're having to do like a massive introductory order, and
as it costs.
Yeah. And as a small business, it's a big, it can be a big risk. So you don't want to be taking out a loan to do that.
Sure.
But you want to still have a quality skincare range. So I wanted to be able to offer a quality range,
of course,
and people can still afford that range, so that they're not feeling that they're not adequate in the, because then people will stop doing facials.
I
want something that works. I want something that I can retail. They don't want to miss out on those extra business side of things, because the retail side can massively increase your business and your revenue.
Yeah, totally.
So why should they miss out on that?
So
I'm quite passionate about that bit at the minute. It's just kind of, I don't mean it's just come to me, but I'm really focusing on that side of things.
Wonderful.
So
yeah, wonderful. So like, and I saw somewhere you were saying like maybe introducing parties or.
I've thought about this quite a lot. Some of my clients are really passionate about the products. So I think, well, maybe they could earn some money from it. So why don't you just host a party, use your own products, you know, get your friends and family involved.
Sure.
But you get the money. So take your orders from your friends and family and you come to me with the order.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll get your discount
and
you can earn a bit of commission on it. So again, that's another avenue. It's working out the strategy behind it, because I don't want to make it such a big thing. I don't want to be, you know, Temple Spa or Virgin yeah. V back yeah. in the day back and in, stuff, yeah, you know. Yeah. But, and no disrespect to them, I don't want to be a party planner, but I just think it's another avenue that could possibly earn, you know, some people a bit of money revenue, or, yeah, sure. or even like salons, if they thought one of their clients wanted to yeah. host a party, yeah. they could give the clients a freebie or course, something, and course. They could have a free facial while they're there,
could
or something
even be
like
a
that.
Salon party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've hosted them in my salon before. Yeah. Clients have been, we've had a great time, to be honest. I get a bit of Prosecco out, obviously that always goes down yeah. well. So they're fine, yeah. and we have such a laugh. You know, I've got that relationship with my clients, and I love it. I love spending yeah, time yeah, with yeah. them. I'm not sure they love spending time with me. But,
I'm sure.
You
know,
I have to
sure
get them in with a Prosecco. I'm like, come on,
I've got Prosecco.
Come
yeah,
and see me.
Brilliant.
So, but yeah, so there's so many avenues with it that yeah. we could do. So it's just finding the right thing for people.
Positioning. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
So you're very entrepreneurial, aren't you? Like, would you say?
I've never thought of myself that way, but I think, yeah, the more I hear this word, the more I think, yes,
it
I obviously.
Just like you.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm starting to help other salons, and I'm finding myself being drawn a bit to that side of things.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I can. It's yeah, I'm starting to like host workshops and
brilliant.
Stuff, and
yeah, wonderful.
And they've already kind of been popular, so I think. Well, I always think if something gets filled, then it's obviously meant to be.
There's an interest.
So
there,
I think right, okay, that was unexpected. So it wasn't part of a plan, not a bigger plan, but. I feel like I need to introduce this into my
yeah,
plan
yeah,
now.
Why not?
So,
yeah, totally, totally.
So yes, yeah, so I suppose that if I do go down that road, that'll be another. Avenue, so yeah, maybe I'm more entrepreneurial than I realised.
It sounds like you certainly are. It sounds like you certainly are. So, I mean, in terms of like building the business, then, so you've been building the business for 18 years. You like the last 2 years, you seem to have been accelerating at a really fast rate.
Yeah.
The skincare range is taking off, and workshops now is there something that is.
Yes.
Have you self funded all of this? Have you raised finance to do this? Debt finance? Like, have you?
This is why when I said to you earlier, like, oh, there's still loads of jobs that need doing in the salon, it's because I'm not someone to get into debt. Right. I just think, you know what, start steady, mm-hmm. get a bit of money for that. Again, it's a plan. So maybe I am a planner that I didn't realise. So you have to plan to think, right, okay, I need a new door there, or I need a new this,
of course.
Whatever. And then you think, okay, now whatever I've earned in that week, that'll go towards my new whatever it is that you want. So no, I've funded everything. I'm not saying I haven't got the odd credit card here and there, you know, you to get that, but I've always had a plan of how I'm going to pay for that.
Sure.
So I have bought a lot of equipment along the way that are quite pricey, so I'm not saying I've just gone and bought them. However, I've always drummed up interest first. I've
sure.
always found out, is this something, is it just a Louisa idea, or are people actually interested in it?
So you've got proof of concept first.
Definitely.
Which is, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes people have even paid a deposit.
Right.
Knowing that, you know, I've been totally honest.
Sure.
People have paid a deposit and go, right, okay, if I've got this money committed, I will go and buy this machine.
Of course,
and
of
then they've done it. So it's, you know, I've known the money's been going to. Being coming in.
Yeah,
in, so
yeah. Which is a great way to do your testing, aren't you?
Definitely. Yeah, sure. I think it's really important because. I am a risk taker, but at the same time, it's got to be a calculated risk in business.
It's got to be, yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to go.
And I think that's the misconception for entrepreneurship. I think a lot of people look at entrepreneurs and they think that entrepreneurs are these major risk takers, and in essence, they're not really. What they are is that they look at opportunities, but the first question is like, that's the upside, but how do I protect the downside?
Yes.
You know, what if it doesn't work? How am I protected down in the bottom end? And I remember reading about Richard Branson when he launched the airline business.
Yes.
All his advisors and all his consultants says, don't do it, it'll bankrupt you.
Yeah.
And he says, well, how can we protect the downside? And he went to see Boeing.
Right.
And he said, like, if we take the planes on, if I can't make the business work in 2 years, can I give them back to you? Will you buy them back? And he
right.
says, yeah, okay, fine, yeah. So he protected the biggest cost. And obviously it worked.
I do always think like that. I've read that book, actually. Oh, I've read one of his books, so I've heard that before. But I think... sometimes, like my husband jokes, saying people underestimate you, Louisa. They think you just wake up one day and go, poof, let's do this. And he went, before I even know about it, I know you've plotted and planned it for 6 months right. before you've even told me.
So you're a planner.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm not a planner. But yeah, I think you've got to be. It's a natural way. I mean, I'm not a, when I say I'm not a planner, I probably don't write enough down. Yes. I'm starting to.
Sure, but you've got a good idea, is what you're saying.
It always comes into your head, and I think if that sometimes I'll put the idea to one side in my mind, and then I think if it keeps coming to the forefront or things in life, mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in law of attraction the universe and stuff. And I think if you've put a message out there, then sometimes it is going
to happen.
And I think if the universe is like, nope, don't do it, it kind of never comes back to the forefront.
Sure.
But if something keeps coming at you, a bit like these workshops, I never...
There's a signal.
Yeah, and I kept joking with people. Like, some people would say to me, oh, I've gone to see a business coach. I'm like, what are you getting out of it? And I'm like, I could have told you that. Mm. So I'm like, what are you paying this money for? And they've all been jokes with friends, just snippets. And, you know, when I look back, I think, how many times did I say those things?
Right.
You know, like, I've obviously been sowing the seed in my own brain.
Sure.
And then
sure.
the next thing, these things have come to fruition.
Yeah,
so... Sure. So, yeah, so, you know, sometimes the universe plans it for you, but you've just got to take those opportunities and pay attention.
So being interested in this topic, I mean, the secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're fully into it?
Fully into it, yeah.
Good. So you believe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, you show gratitude?
Yes.
So what's the secret is what you ask, believe, receive, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Ask for what you want.
Yeah.
Believe that you've already got it and
yeah.
you will receive it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've even put little tests out there that, and don't share it with anybody, but you know, like you put things out there and you think, oh my gosh, I'm like a magician.
Yeah, car parking.
I love the car parking one. My friend laughs at me all the time. She'll go, how long did it take you to get parked at entertainment or something?
So
and I'm like, I just got a space. And she's like, did you do your thanks for the car parking space? And I went, yeah,
I did.
All the way there. And she'll be like, oh my gosh. And then she rang me, this is months ago, and she's like, Louisa, it worked. I did the car parking thing. So it's like an ongoing joke.
Sure.
But
people think you're cuckoo, though, don't they?
Yeah, but then again, people think I'm cuckoo anyway. So, you know what, if it works,
sure, if it works,
what the heck?
So. Why do you think it works?
I don't know. I do think you put that out there. But I just think if you have, I think I link it then to self-belief. If you then believe in yourself a bit more, and we live in a world that... where reality kicks in and everyone's like, you've got to be a bit of a realist. You've got to, you know, what about if this happens? And I think, yeah, but what if this happened? Mm. Why is everyone always focused on that?
The negative.
Negative side. So I think if you focus on the negative side, I'm not saying you're going to have negativity forevermore in your life. We all have negative things. So much rubbish happens to me. But then I think, you know what? Life's balance. I have a lot of good stuff
as well.
And a lot of people say to me, aren't you lucky?
No.
And I think if you saw the amount of sleepless nights, tears I've shed, you know, work I've put in.
Sure.
And that's not woe is me. Mm. That's me saying we all have our rubbish, but what's the point in focusing on it? You know, there's times I have, you know, when you think, oh gosh, I can't take any more, please something else happen. But you have to just keep, you know, that's obviously just your time to go through it. You know, you've got to push through and yes, I think I do think it comes back to self-belief. So I think you've got to believe in yourself a bit more or just believe in what you're doing, you know, and ask people.
Sure.
Get some advice, but not the reality advice. Just pick the right people.
Pick the right people, yeah.
You know,
totally.
To have, surround you. What's that saying? Surround yourself with people and you'll become like those people.
You'll become the average of the five people you spend the
most
time with. Yeah, I think it was, who said that now? Was it Jim Rowan, I think?
Yeah.
I think it was Jim Rowan.
So I just think, you know what? Maybe it's time to surround yourself with a few more positive people that aren't... I'm not saying they're bringing you down in a nasty way, because your friends, you know, people won't do that to you.
Yeah.
But because they're not in your mindset...
Sure.
I was out the other day with somebody, and she's a business owner, a totally different business to me. And we were laughing, and we was at this festival, and... in Chesterfield, Tea Fest or something, I can't remember what it's called. And it was just in this pub, and we were sat outside, the weather was gorgeous, and they had this tent, and they had like glitter hair and glitter tattoos and stuff. And I said, oh, damn, I should have brought my girls here. You know, look at that. And then she went, no one would have understood that comment. But because you can't help it. You're naturally always thinking of a business idea or potential or even just ways to help people in ways that you could, what you could bring
what
to the table.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think it's just surrounding yourself with the people that get you
as well.
Makes a huge
difference. Makes a huge difference, yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm totally out there on my own, like, woo.
But this is the thing that's so, that I find just so, like, bizarre about humanity, is that when people are negative, when they are woe is me, when the world's against them, and they complain and they verbalise it, everyone's like, I get it, I understand you.
Yeah, so people, big, like, it almost becomes bigger because everyone's giving you the justification as to why you feel that way.
Exactly. Whereas if you're walking around happy, you know, smiling all the time, full of energy, can't wait to get to work, people's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I always get that. We were laughing just this morning, one of my girls was walking across and I was like, look at her, dilly dally daydream. And I told her when she came in, we always have a laugh about stuff. And she said, oh, I'm in a world of my own. I went, well, it's one of them things, isn't it? If you walk around going, all the time, people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
If you walk around like going, people are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you can't win. You can't win, no. Never can.
It's just funny. I just think it's just funny.
So what's your background then? I mean, like, you've spent 18 years in this industry. I mean, what happened prior to that?
Well, I don't know. I've always been the kind of person that thinks, oh, gosh, there's got to be more to life than, you know, I'm from a village. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great village.
The village, what we're in now.
Yeah, I'm from here. Got loads of friends, went to school here. I love it. I love the village life, as in, you know, I'm not saying it's good when everyone knows your business all the time, but, you know, I do like that side of thing, everyone knows your name kind of thing. But, you know, I got offered a summer job and went to live in Jersey with a friend.
Right.
And we just had a hotel job, just waitressing. I'd left school and had a job. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I was never a kind of person that I'd waste time going to, you know, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. But then I was like, what if I get to the end of it and don't? So I thought, well, I'll just take a year out and decide what I want to do. So I had a job. I didn't even go to sixth form, to be honest. very impatient. So then we got this opportunity. So I went to Jersey when I was 16 to have this summer job. Lived in the hotel.
Right. And at 16?
I know, I said to my mum all the time, why did you let me go? And she went, Louisa, you were just so determined. You'd have gone
I'm not
anyway.
Stopping you. Yes.
So they put a few stipulations in place, like you've got to save this amount of money, you can't come back and have no job, you've got to do this. So I am good and I did do everything that they said. But I just didn't come back. My mum came out there for my 18th birthday. She was like, Louisa, I can't make you come back. We've got such a good life here. You know, we're near the beach. It's amazing. An amazing place. And then I had jobs and stuff. And then I ended up getting an opportunity to go to Australia to go travelling. Right. So, and in Indonesia. So I thought, I'll do that as well. So because I'd saved all this money that my mum told me to save, I'd got all this money for Australia. I thought,
let's go.
You know, most people, I probably should have bought a house looking back when they were like 20 grand and 30 grand. But oh well, I went travelling instead. So so I went there and I just couldn't settle. So loved that. I was there for about 15 months. Came back, tried England. Oh, I can't cope with this. So I went back to Jersey again.
Right.
And then I thought, right, Louisa, come on. Just got to get out of the Peter Pan world. You've got to do something. So I ended up going to college to do beauty. Just a hobby, something to do to keep me focused.
Sure.
I really enjoyed it. Right. I loved how the body works and all that side of things. And then while I was still at college, I got an opportunity to rent a room in a tanning shop. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm not even qualified. So I told everybody. So the prices are quite cheap and stuff. But then I qualified quite soon after.
Sure.
But I think I started in the January and I qualified like by the June.
Okay.
So, and I was qualified in the units that I was doing. Yes. It wasn't like I was working unqualified, but I didn't have the final,
of course,
you know, qualification. Of course. And so it just kind of started. I still had a full-time job at the time, just worked evenings and weekends. Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, it just snowballed.
Really?
And I thought, you know what, I feel like I'm just meant to do this.
Really?
But this is law of attraction for you. So ages before that, I was obviously at college at the time, and I remember driving with my mum, and I said to my mum, someone was sat in the window doing nails, and I said to my mum, obviously we know nails is not my passion, I'm not saying that, but I went, I wish I could sit all day and do nails instead of what I'm doing. They earn like all this money, this is the naive bit, they earn all this money and they're just doing that all day. I have to sit all day in an office and do blah blah blah. Obviously the money side is not quite what, you know, you think it's going to be. But I said that months before, and then the next thing, I got offered an opportunity to do nails in the tanning shop. And it was me then that sort of said, can I rent a room? I'm more passionate about the treatments.
Right.
But I thought, I asked for it.
Of course.
And I got it.
And it served it back to you.
Yeah, even though I was like, but I don't even want to do nails. But we do nails. You know, I was more interested in the treatment side of things. But yeah, it did. I asked, I received. Delivered the other way around.
Yeah, brilliant. But, absolutely brilliant.
So
what would you say to an aspiring entrepreneur coming into this industry that you're in, into the beauty industry, maybe considering opening their own place? What kind of advice would you tell them?
I would say plan, come and speak to me. I don't just mean for my workshop. I just mean like genuinely speak to someone who's already doing it. Don't go in there deluded thinking I am going to earn a fortune.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't cheapen your prices either, because it just devalues the whole industry, and that's something that I'm quite passionate about.
Sure.
You know, it's different when you're self-employed and you're doing nails or you're doing a treatment. You're only having to find your own wage.
Of course.
So people can do it a little bit cheaper. Sure. When you're a business, you're trying to find a staff's wage, and you've got a little salon side as well.
Yeah.
So in that respect, yeah, I'd say plan it. Sure. Plan.
Have you ever done deals like Groupon or Living Social?
Have, yes.
Good or bad?
No disrespect to Groupon. I think they're a great way to advertise.
Sure.
If you want to look at it as a loss leader, do it.
Sure.
However, sometimes the people that you attract are the offer people.
Yep.
So you never
come back.
Yeah, you're probably not going to build up a client base on that. I would say, you know, build your relationships with your clients.
Sure.
That's massively important. I'm not saying I planned to do that, it just happened.
It happened, yeah.
You know, I've got so many adopted mums, they've seen me go from I'm never getting married, I don't want to do that, to then see me get married and stuff. So you know, people know like my life, they follow your journey.
Brilliant.
And I think people, you know, I don't mean buy into that in a nasty way, but people buy into you.
Yeah,
they want
totally,
to,
totally.
You know, so I think plan it, get help from the start, get an apprentice, don't be scared to take somebody on.
Right.
Get your little, you know, your systems and procedures, so important. I can hear so many people going, yes, Louisa, that's where I went wrong.
Right, yeah.
And I hear so many people, I'm a one-man band, I don't need it.
Sure.
That's the problem. You
course,
do. That's when you do
that's
need it the most.
It, yeah. And it's the easiest time to implement.
That's what I was going to say. You've got the time to do it. Whereas if you don't, you haven't got the time to do it.
As when you're growing.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the problem.
Sure. What kind of systems would you say is really important? I don't mean just for this industry. I mean, as you as a business owner, what kind of systems do you think is like really like fundamental to your business?
I think obviously like, opening up, I know that sounds really simple, but like the opening up so that we start the day well.
Right.
And the closing up, because I think that can help start the next day well as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then treatments, making sure like the meet and greet of the customers, making sure that everyone's answering the phone the same way.
Right.
That it's all about your customers.
Sure.
If they are not dealt with in the right manner, the right way, you're doomed from the start.
Sure.
So I think if you've got an apprentice or somebody, you know, that's young, that's out of college, that doesn't understand the, you know, we're all online people now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, how do we talk to people? It's all about, hi, can I take your coat? And all those kind of...
Being very personable
to
people.
Yeah, it's a very personal... So I think that system is quite important. And I think, you know, I've even done role plays with some of my girls before, and they're like, I'm like, do it now then.
Did they like
and they're
it?
Like, what? I'm going to do it now. And it's mortifying. It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh,
but,
I love it. It's incredible. It's so fun.
But it's fun from my side when I'm making them do it. But no, I didn't say that. Edit. But
when I were like, I had a big sales team, and I used to get them to do drills, what we call drills, which were basically role play, and it would just, it's like, you won't put an athlete on the field without him warming up.
Yeah.
Him or her warming up, would you? So why would you go into business cold? Why would you start each day cold?
True.
Why not drill first and prepare
yeah.
yourself so that when you're out there, you're ready to face the challenges that come each day.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
I just,
that's a good way of putting
I just
it,
think
actually.
Role
I like
play,
that.
Yeah.
That'll be my next one now. Forget
it.
The bus one.
Exactly.
Like, right.
They're all drills.
We're drills.
Yes.
Let's do a drill.
Yeah.
You know, you're an athlete.
Exactly, you're an athlete. I mean, we used to have some crazy... I mean, we used to have them running full length of the office,
really?
Doing Red Bull races and stuff like that as well. But it were very... you know, it were a high-energy sales business. So, you know, it were crazy. They would, like, run... I don't know, I forget how long it was now, maybe 30 feet, 35 feet or so, from one side to the next, do a kind of Red Bull in, and then run to the other
oh
side.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right, I might have to start doing that with the girls, just to boost a bit of
better
energy.
Energy.
And,
yeah.
So, yeah, you've got to create the right atmosphere, though, aren't you?
I mean,
so.
The atmosphere. I mean, and this, again, what we were saying earlier about people looking at you weird when you're happy and smiley, like the kiosk that used to be outside the offices, they used to say, what are you guys up to up there? Because you're always positive, you're always excited, and you're always smiling. Like, what's going on? What's wrong?
Well,
you're taking
to
drugs.
Be, though, aren't you? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're on drugs. But you've got to be. I'm not saying we don't. You know, I have down days and I'm all sensitive and I feel like everyone, the world hates me. But you have to think, oh, look, get a grip.
Yeah.
And then you tell people and everyone goes, what? And then you really feel like that. Well, sometimes. So I think, you know, I said it the other day, in fact, and they were all like, what? So
days?
I just thought, hang on a minute, Louise, have a word with yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, who cares if everybody hates you, really? You know, as long as you've got your friends and people who actually do like you, that's all that matters, really.
I mean, like, I mean, like, talk about hair. I mean, it's something that we were touching on this off screen, weren't we, before we started? And the thing with hair, it's really interesting, is that the people that's got the most hair get the most attention.
Yeah.
And you only have to look at, like, who's got the most followers on Instagram, for example. The person with the most followers in the world is Kim Kardashian. And everyone hates her. But she makes she does influence marketing.
Doing something all right,
and she makes millions off of the back of it. Like, in fact, if you could get half the world to hate you, you could become Trump.
So you've got to be president. Kind of get rid of your sensitivity, stop worrying, and almost want them to hate you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think anybody wants to be hated, but I think you've got to understand it's part of the journey.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it is
part of the journey. Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to be hated.
No,
but,
no, I'm only kidding.
I think that it is part of the game, and I think it's really interesting what happens when you pick up haters, because if you don't let them affect you, what I see happens over a period of time is that they'll actually start to admire you. So they'll go from hating on you to saying, actually, you know, I've seen you go through the challenges, I've seen the scars and the war stories, and actually I quite admire you actually now. And not always, but generally speaking, you'll find that haters often turn into admiration.
Yeah, because sometimes there's no reason to hate someone. They're probably just feeling a little bit envious or a bit like, what's she doing that's
They don't
that?
Hate you, they hate themselves.
Yeah, they said that, don't they? It's a reflection of how they're feeling.
I mean, like, in terms of psychology, what happens is generally what you'll find is if there's something about somebody else that annoys you, it's not them that's the problem.
The thing that annoys you about yourself.
it's the thing that is underdeveloped in you. And so if someone's really loud and confident and you find it annoying, it's because there's this confidence inside of you that's not been developed just yet.
Oh, that's a good way
of thinking. And we've all got this. Yeah. You know, we all have this. No matter how great we are, we all have this as well.
Yeah.
So what's next? I mean, like 18 years in, skincare range going well, workshops on the way. What's next? Is there anything else next after that?
I think I really think this workshop thing, I think I just want to push that quite a bit. Yeah. I think, like I said, it was never part of a plan. I just think I'll see how it goes and I'm going to test the water there a little bit, see what happens there. But I feel like I'm drawn to that somewhere along the line. Something's happening there. I'm just not quite... I've got a lot of things in place and I seem to have, like, in a very, very short space of time, I've already, like, typed manuals. Yeah. I've already done, you know, quite a few worksheets and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I feel like something's drawing me to this.
Right.
So I think that at the minute...
It needs to be explored.
Yes.
Yeah.
My salon basically runs itself. Obviously, I do like being here. I like working with the girls. We're a great team. But I think, it's time for me a little bit to take a bit more of a step back, which I kind of do anyway. But I think more so take a step back, let the girls do what they're good at.
Sure.
You know, and...
Any more salons on the horizon, do you think? No.
You don't
want to chain, you don't want to...
Everybody asks that. I've been asked that from day one. And I used to want to do that. I used to see this particular salon. In fact, it was the owner of here years ago. Prior to me. Like, not prior to me, but, like, years and years ago. They had a chain of salons. And I thought, gosh, I want to do that. That's amazing.
Right.
But do you know what? No. Yeah. I want to put all of my... This salon's got my heart and soul. I know that sounds really cheesy, but it has. So I think, where do I want to share that with another building?
Okay.
You know, I want to build this team and make it the best success that we can.
Right.
I want to provide the best I can for my clients, and I want my staff to love working here. I want everyone just to love what they do.
Right.
Clients coming in, staff treatments, etc. So I think I don't want to then split my time with another salon. I think if I'm going to split my time anywhere, I'd rather be helping other salons.
Other salons.
You know, I'm not saying I've got all the answers, but inspire them a bit more.
Sure.
Make them stop thinking I'm just a mobile therapist or I'm just a this. Make them see, like, okay, well, you are. That's amazing.
Mm.
You know, you've got a client base, and work out actually what their goals in life are. Where do they want to go? What do they want to achieve? They might want to stay doing that, and that's absolutely fine.
Yes.
But still, if you had a plan of what you had for your life,
mm-hmm.
is that going to actually... get you where you want to go, and make them almost look at their own dream big. You know, I want to inspire people. We've got such limited beliefs.
Oh, major.
And
yes.
I want people to step out of that zone and join Louisa Land, you know?
Yeah.
People think I'm cuckoo because I'm always like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Yep.
But I just think, you know what?
Definitely.
It's obviously not a bad thing.
No, I think it's incredible. I really do. And I think that we're all teachers. You know, inside, we've all got lessons that people can learn. And Jim Rowan, again, actually, who said success leaves clues.
Yeah.
Do you know? So like, if you can help a salon who's wanting to do what you have done,
yeah,
you're the best person to help them because you've done it.
Yeah.
So there's clues all the way along the path, isn't there, that they can follow.
So when I look back, I think, well, you know, we always think, oh, have I got to teach? What do I know? And then I look back and I think...
A lot.
I've got 18 years of, you know, heartache, whatever you want to call it, but at the same time, success.
Yeah.
You know, success is measured in so many different ways. Of course. And, you know...
What success mean to you, by the
way?
Well,
I was having this conversation with my husband, and, like, obviously, to me, I can't sum it up, you know, you've worked that out, I'm a chatter, but I think success is measured in so many different ways. You know, if you look at, say for me, for skincare, for example, you know, if I want to be up there with the top dogs, and I think, well, I'm not a success because I'm not there,
right.
But yet, actually, I'm in a saturated market, and my skincare is still holding its own, you know, 4 years out in the big world, and it's still going. I've got salons, which I never imagined would happen. It's successful. My clients are so on board with me here. Yeah. Like, they love it. Is that not a success then? Mm. You know, Andy's going to be like, ah, I gave you that one. Because he did point, you know, like sometimes when you're feeling a bit doom and gloom.
Of course.
And we're like, hang on a minute. And I thought, yeah, you're right. And that's how you have to look sometimes. Actually, maybe look back where you've come from, where you were. And I think that's success. When you look back, if you're looking here and now, if you are of that mindset, you're always aiming for something else, because that's just what we do as business owners. We're always onto the next thing. How can we progress? Well, we're not there yet, so we're not successful.
Of course.
If you look back and think, you know, I had a little salon down the road. I rented a place in a tanning shop. Tanning ain't even going anymore, is it, really?
That boomed and then flopped.
Yeah. So I think, you know what? So I'm a success here as well. I'm a success. So if you look back and think, actually, gosh, I'm really successful.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Everyone should look at their own lives and give themselves a bit of credit for what they've done.
So. I think one of the best explanations I heard for success was that you've got an idea and you spend every day trying to achieve it. And that's success.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually everything that you've just said sums it up really well, doesn't it? Like,
my mum always says I use too many words.
But I think it's so valuable, isn't it? Is actually, it's not about the car or the house or the money or the status. It is about having an idea of what you want to do and spending every single day trying to get there.
Yeah.
Or moving towards it. You know? And I think that's incredible.
And that's a success when
that's
you
a
are
success, isn't
moving
it?
Yourself forward.
Sure.
Definitely.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So, hey, Louisa, I mean, like, that's an hour.
Is it?
Can you believe it?
Gosh. Time flies when you're having fun.
It certainly does. Where can people find out more about you and your skincare products and the salon as a whole?
Well, just Google LA. Just Louisa Ashworth. The salon's labeautyandhair.co.uk. And obviously we're on Facebook as well.
Sure.
And that's LA Beauty and Hair Aston. And then the skincare, laskincare.co.uk. And the training academy is backed onto the beauty page as well, just obviously it's all about the beauty side.
Perfect.
Really, you know, the courses that we do and stuff.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put again, like on all of them, we'll put a link in the description.
Thank
side
you.
So anyone who's interested, they can come along and hopefully they'll come and sample all your skin products as well.
But if not, let's just connect.
Just
connecting with people.
Yes.
And you never know who you're going to meet, who they know, and how they can help you.
Marvellous.
And so
Louisa, thank you so much
thank
for your time.
You so
it's been
much.
incredible. Thank
it's
you
been great. Thank you.